This morning's scripture reading comes from Joshua chapter 1. I'll be reading the first 9 verses. This begins a new sermon series on the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
Morning, Water Dam. It's good to be with all of you this morning as we get started here. Just want to say thank you to our church family for their prayers. We've had several people just asking for prayer lately, and I just want to say thank you to all of you that take that seriously. There's about 40 families that pray and under ePartners, and so we're always glad that there's people out there praying when you need it. So thank you for doing that. I call that to your attention for a good reason. If you fill out anything or you want to send a note to the church and you want us to pray, you'll have to contact us through the church email, or you can send it to one of us through our website email, and we will definitely pray for you and pray for your family, whatever your needs are. So let's pray right now. Father God, we thank you for today. As we think about Joshua, we think about the blessing of this book, that we are encouraged to be strong and courageous. And it's important for all of us to know that we need strength and courage to walk in this life. As we see the people of God being called to go into the promised land, it wasn't without trouble. It wasn't without a promise of not having to take what they were promised, that they would have to enter into the promised land. They'd have to be strong. They would have to have courage. As we think about that, Lord, we need your help to be able to do that. We have to move forward in our faith and not give in to fear. We have to be under your banner. We have to look to you. So God, as we come before you now, we pray that you'd help us to be strong and courageous and walk under your banner as we face many battles in our life. We thank you, Lord, that you are there for us. And as we walk, this book is to invite us to come with you, to know that you are with us, that you're walking with us wherever we go. We just pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Pete has said, we are starting a new sermon series called Entering Into the Promised Land. The book of Joshua picks up where we left off in Exodus a few months ago. And as we think about it, I want to say that all of us need strength and courage to face the battles that we face in this world. As we think about life circumstances, there's many things in life that we are not prepared for, and neither were these people. These were the generation that had not died in the wilderness. These were the generation that were the kids and the children of the people that God had judgment against. If you remember that God had judged the people and told them that this generation, because they were fearful and they wouldn't go in, that only two people, well, besides Moses, was Caleb and Joshua were the two people that were allowed to enter into the promised land. Anybody above 20 would not when this judgment occurred. And so they don't know what's going to happen. They have not been tested yet. And they had only learned from the stories that their father, their grandfathers had told them. The book that they would refer to would be the first five books that Moses had written. And so as we look at this, we're picking up right there with them as they right before they go in. And as fear starts to knock, when you're reminded, many of us need to be reminded to have strength and courage, because he says it several times here, to have strength and courage. We need to be reminded to do that, because, you know, things that pop up that you don't really plan for. And that's when you start to feel like, where's the Lord at in all of this? But he says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord God will be with you. And if this book seems removed from you and from your space, time, and environment, you're ancient, that it's just ancient and irrelevant, I want to assure you that it's not. Joshua, in the book of Joshua, we see changes that are coming to these people that's going to shock them and rock them back on their heels. Sinclair Ferguson says, in the book of Joshua, God's people would have to learn to apply God's word as life came unraveling at them, before them, in their present circumstances in which they find themselves. So in the present day, the book of Joshua teaches us how we are to apply the principles of God's truth in situations we've never encountered. I've never encountered some of the situations that I hear and see on the news when I was a young child. And I'm not going to go through all of them because they're too aggravating for me to deal with right now. It's like, it's just crazy stuff. Anyways, I got to get off of that. When they're moving from this period of their ministry of Moses, this is a crucial time in the circumstances of these people's life. Think about Moses. Moses has been in their life for 40 years leading them. All the miracles that they saw God do, freeing them out of the bondage of Egypt, bringing them manna in the morning and manna in the evening, right? That's what they had. If you were a kid back then, you didn't have to say, Mom, what are we having this morning for breakfast? Manna. What are we having for dinner? Manna. What are we having tomorrow morning for breakfast? Manna. And then so on and so on. So it would be manna in the morning and manna in the evening. And this is the same Moses that struck the rock and water flowed out of it at Meribah. And so as we look at this book and we think about that picture that we are beginning with here, is that this is a transition period for these people. And I don't know about you, but I don't like transition periods. Sometimes they kind of tend to rock me back on my heels. When you turn 50, you know, and now I'm getting near 60. I couldn't believe it. I think the guy gave me a deal on the golf the other day. I'm not sure, but I think he gave me the senior rate. I don't remember for sure, but I thought I heard a little less than what I thought the price was. And I get asked every once in a while, do you want the senior rate? And I'm like, really? I look that old to you. Apparently I do. Or somebody moves my toast setting on my toaster. You know, that rocks my world. It doesn't take much to rock my world. So you can imagine what these people are going through. Ferguson says this, the book teaches us in the context of one of the most important transitions that took place in the life of the people of God when they were moving from the period of ministry of Moses to the period of the ministry of Joshua. From the period of wandering in the wilderness to being settled in the promised land. Where God was telling them how to build his kingdom. And now we are told the leader of his people has died. I don't know how you'd handle it, but think about Moses, and Moses represented God to the people and people to God. He's the one they would go to and ask all the questions about. You remember that? He was always He was trying to intercede, and his father-in-law had to come to him and say, it's too heavy of a weight for you. You can't do this. People were lined up because they knew he had a direct line to God. And he's gone. So it'd be unsettling. Nonetheless, God wants the people to move out in faith. And so as we look at this, Joshua is an assistant to Moses. I don't know if you've ever had that, a point of where you've kind of been helping people out. And you have been kind of on the back burner and you've said, I could do it better than he can. Or I can do it better than she can. And then all of a sudden the day comes when you are up to bat and you've got to do it. You've got to make it happen. You ever been in that position? It's a unsettling time. Not all, before you were kind of insulated by the guy in front of you, see? But now you're up to bat. You are the one that everybody's looking to and looking at for leadership. It's not as easy as some of you think it is to lead people, especially 2 million people that have had a tendency to rebel. So the opportunity's like, oh yeah, I can't wait to get up there. Swing away, right? Swing away. So Joshua, I need to move on, is called to be in leadership, and he's to move forward in faith. If we look at this, we'll get off of that picture that I've so cleverly put up there, and it's just... anything to distract you from the message, right? I can see your guys' eyes, you know, watching it. But you want to move forward in faith, and it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, after the death of Moses... Those are key and significant words because Moses is now gone. The leader that had been there for 40 years has been taken out. And it's understandable that it would be kind of unsettling to hear. It's significant in the sense that Moses has been leading these people and teaching them and walking with them for years. The people would have been in shock. And Moses was like no other man. He was very meek, it says. And that in Numbers 12, verse 3, he was more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. That's not a normal person, right? He's more meek than any person, it says, on the face of the earth in my translation. And there has not, in Deuteronomy 34, 10 says, and there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. So he saw, he had, like I said, he had a direct line to God. Mano a mano. And it says, whom the Lord knew face to face, and in 34:11 says, none like him for all the signs and wonders that the Lord had sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all of his servants, and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. Now, everybody dies, right? But the thing is about Moses is it says something about Moses' death in the Bible that was completely unnatural. In Deuteronomy 34, 7, it says Moses was 120 years old. And some people said, well, he was old. But the thing was about Moses that was different was it says that Moses, his eyes were undimmed and his vigor was unabated. It was unabated. Unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. And then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. So not just that he died. Moses died. That's a significant thing, that he lived 120 years. His eyes hadn't dimmed. His vigor was unabated. In other words, he was not expected to die by the people. He looked as good as anybody. You ever seen anybody look good and then all of a sudden you hear about them? And they've died suddenly. It's shocking to hear that. Everybody always says, well, he was in such good shape. I used to hear that about the doctor's office when they took me in for mine. I said, I'm fine. I'm only 56. This doesn't happen to 56-year-olds. And the nurse looked at me and she goes, oh, yes, it does. We have to be ready for this. We have to be ready to meet the Lord. And as we think about what God has for us here, when we look at this, I want you to hear, this is the last judgment of God being visited upon the people, see. Moses is the last guy that was part of the generation who was told he wouldn't go into the wilderness. God let Moses look into the wilderness and look over the wilderness and see it with his own eyes, but he was not allowed to go into it. God said no one over 20 years old will get into the promised land except for Caleb and Joshua. Moses was not allowed to go in. God kept his word. And now he says, all right, Joshua, up the bat. So much for put me in, coach, right? Why now? Because it was the last judgment of God because of the people's disobedience. And now it's time for them to move forward in faith. That's why it's so significant when it says after the death of Moses. They were not expecting him to die. Neither was, you know, I don't know if Joshua was around at this time, because you know what? There's something significant. You want to go read it. It's really interesting stuff for your own devotion. In the book of Jude, it tells us that Moses, that God buried Moses. And that Satan wanted to know where his body was. I don't think Joshua was around. Now, this is total supposition on my part, but I think this caught even Joshua, as close of a minister to the people, an assistant that God had told Moses to ordain and use these words, be strong and courageous, in Deuteronomy 31, to Joshua, is to tee him up for leadership. Anyways, I hope you like the golf analogies. We're going to move on to the next hole. Good, you're following along with me. After the death of Moses. And then it says, arise and cross over. Okay, no big deal. But if you are Joshua, Joshua has had a history. He's been around these people. He saw them rebel. He saw how they treated God. And so God is saying, you're up. You're up to bat, buddy. And it's for God's will for the people to arise and cross the Jordan. The Lord is saying, get out of the desert and move into Canaan. Move into the promised land. He didn't want you in the wilderness. He brought you out so he could bring you in. You've been wandering in the wilderness because of sin for 40 years. 40 years. You've been wandering around in your sin. He says, I don't want you there. I want you in the promised land. I want you to cross over, arise and cross over the Jordan. And so God is telling him that arise and cross. It's a parallel to the New Testament, where the New Testament says, take up your armor. Put on the full armor of God. You know, we get saved out of Egypt, right? We get saved out of sin. We're taken out of the bondage of Egypt, the Old Testament. We're taken out of the bondage of sin as Christians in the New Testament. God took us out to bring us in. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to move forward in our faith. And so God's wanting us to move forward. Use your resources. Stop trusting yourself and trust God. God is saying, I have been faithful. It's time for you to be faithful. Move forward in faith. And Joshua's no spring chicken. He's 90 years old. And so he's seen a lot of stuff. He's been in a lot of battles, and he's seen what takes place. He has seen this generation before him shrink back from going into the promised land. God says, go into the promised land. There's milk and honey there for you. There's great fruit. They said, no, there's giants in the land. We don't want to go over there. We're afraid. And only Joshua and Caleb came back and said, no, the Lord wants us to go. We can do it. We can take it. God wants us there. Then we'll be okay there, and he'll take us through that. That's what Joshua was saying. Now it's time to put up or shut up. So move forward. Adrian Rogers said, the people, there are always people, some of them sitting in the congregation who have come out of Egypt, come out of sin, gotten saved, but they've never gone into Canaan. They've never really moved farther than that. One and done. Once I got saved, I don't have to do anything else. I just come in, I go to church. There's a difference between going to church and seeking the Lord and trusting in the Lord to go where God tells you to go, to do what God tells you to do, to live like God wants you to live, to be married to your wife and you're married to your husband the way God wants you to be married. You see, that's different than just saying I'm a Christian. That's living it out. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you cross over. That's the line in the sand. And so Adrian Rogers says, there are people, some of them sitting in the congregation, have come out of Egypt, but they've never gone into Canaan. God brought them out so that they might bring them in. However, they felt like they've been dumped in the desert. And friend, I want to ask you something. Have you moved forward in your faith with God? I know you've been saved. But are you still in the wilderness of sin? God saved the people out of Egypt, and he brought them out to bring them in, to take them into the land of Canaan, which is a place of victory, a place where God says you will rest. And Joshua now has gotten the tap on the shoulder, and if it's God saying to him, Joshua, it's time to go after the death of Moses. You're up. You're on. It's time for you to lead. We need to move forward in our faith. Secondly, we need to be strong and courageous. You have to admit that Joshua didn't have strength in himself. A lot of people use this as kind of a bumper sticker, kind of like with the same thing. Who was it that we were talking about last week? I totally forgot. That I was talking about Mikey. I remember that. You remember Mikey would eat anything? The Wheaties commercial? Life takes... But it's kind of the same thing here, that you can't just say, well, I'll just be strong and courageous. That's a good verse. I'll put that up on my mirror and I'll be strong and courageous. You can be if you trust the Lord. It's the Lord's strength and courage that we need to face the giants in our life. So our source of strength, Warren Wiersbe gives us three things that he gives Joshua. Number one was the promise of the land. It's repeated. God had never went away from changing. He didn't change gears. After 40 years of telling the people and dealing with the people in the wilderness, you're going to just stay there. I'm going to give the land to the people, but you people, some of you people over 20, you're not going to get it. Your children's going to get it. So he never went away from that. In verses 2 through 4, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan and you and all this people into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. So God says, I give you the promise of the land. I haven't forgotten it. Now you've been in the desert for 40 years. You've been in there. You've been working in the desert. You get used to the desert. You kind of forget about that God wants you to go farther. So if you're going to move forward, you're going to have to be strong and courageous because you're going into the land. The second thing that he says is a source of strength is the promise of his presence. Verse 5, it's important. God gave Joshua and the people the promise of his presence. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's what it says in verse 5. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. That promise is as true for us today who are Christians as it is for Joshua and the people of God. God says, I will not leave you or forsake you. So we have the promise of his presence. Verse 6 says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to the fathers to give to them. He has not forgot his promises. Verses 7 through 9, the assurances of his word. That's the source of his strength. In verse 7 through 9, it's very interesting if you read in your Bibles there with me, if you look down in them, only be strong and be very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. The book of the law, verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you might be careful to do according to what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. He keeps repeating it. I'm sure Joshua had a little bit of fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is, even though you're fearful, you move forward in your faith, in the promises of God. And you seek out the source of your strength from the promises of God, that he's trustworthy. Wherever you're at in life, whatever battle you're facing. Have I not commanded you, he says, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. So if we're going to move forward in our faith, we need to be strong and courageous. And if we're going to be like Daniel or be like Joshua, Daniel, that's who it was, right? Not Mikey. Mikey eats anything. Daniel wouldn't eat everything, right? Yeah. Be strong and courageous. Now, I'm sure this reminded Joshua of when he went into the land. Now, you're going to have to hold on, because this is where my mind went because of what we had done and studied in Exodus. If I'm going to be strong in the Lord, I need to walk in God's ways. He says, don't turn from the left or to the right. And there has to be a memory in Joshua, because Joshua was fighting the battle against Amalek. And when they went into the promised land, when they tried to get into Canaan, the Amalekites are the ones that attacked him. Those just happened to be Esau's family. And they're trying to prevent them from getting into the promised land. And the thing about the battle with Amalek, or Amalek, however you want to say it, in Exodus 17, was that Moses, after the victory, says something to Joshua. He says in chapter 17, verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in the book, and listen, listen, recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. That had to be ringing in his ears when he's told to go into the promised land, because he knows the Amalekites are over there. They've seen him. They're not little people. He said, the people came back and said they were like, we feel like grasshoppers around them. Big, bad, and ugly. And they were afraid. But Joshua heard the word of the Lord in his ear, and Moses said, make sure you tell Joshua, recite it in his ear, that I will blot out the Amalekites. So in other words, you're going to get the victory. You remember, this battle, during this battle, if Moses had his arms up, Joshua was winning. But if his arms fell down, they started losing the battle, the momentum. So somebody had to go. The brothers went and held up Moses' arms, because Moses would get tired holding his arms up. And Joshua had to have remembered that. He had to say, I remember that. He remembers that he needs to be under the banner of the Lord. God gives us the victory under the banner of the Lord. There's your part, and then there's his part. You see, no one likes that. It says, you know, you can have all these good things. You want it, but you have to take it. He's telling the people, you have to take this. Matter of fact, when they go into the promised land, they're told to be arm up. Take your armor with you. You're going to have to fight for this. But there's your part. Joshua and his men, it says, when Moses was held up, they prevailed. And there's our part. We have to take possession and walk in faith. In Joshua 1:7, they're told to do what in their strategy? Meditate on the book of the law. Meditate on the book of the law. And when we hear law, we think of do's and don'ts. We hear wrongs and rights. But it's God's word. And God says the armor that you need to put on is the word of God. The strategy that you need to trust is the word of God. The prayers that you need to pray need to be lifted up to the word of God, because the battle is going to be in the valley, but the victory is won from above. I didn't say that. I quote. I know I heard that from someone. But that's so true. The God of the mountain is also God of the valley. And so as we remember that, Joshua remembers, under the Lord's banner, God says, how do you guide 2 million people? Give them the word of God. How do you guard and guide them? Give them the word of God. The book of Joshua is about giving the word of God. And so as we look at this, the lessons from the wilderness, you got to do your part. You remember their part? They had to go gather the manna. God provided the manna. That was God's part. You had to go gather it. If you, on the sixth day, you were to gather a double portion and then rest on the seventh. You had to trust God that he would provide for you. There's your part, and then there's his part. We need God in our relationships. We need to look to God for our strength. We need to look to the Lord's banner, the blessing of love. You and I must fight in the valley below against the flesh, but the victory comes from above. Erwin Lutzer writes, high up on the mountain of Liechtenstein, I think that's where that castle is, a small sliver of land between Germany and Switzerland, there is a castle with a special limited access. We are told that the flag is flying, the king is in residence. When he's absent, the flag is taken down. The flag is a sign of the presence of the king. When my wife and I visited Liechtenstein, the flag was visible on the pole, but the wind was so calm that it hung limp next to the pole. Only when the wind was blowing would we see its colors. So today, many people claim to march under God's flag, but their commitment is largely a secret. Only when the wind blows and it begins to blow can we see who the true followers of Christ are. In other words, when you're getting buffeted. When the Lord places his banner over us, everyone must meet, should know to whom we belong. The primary difference between Israel and the Amalekites was that God was with Israel. He was not with the Amalekites. You must go fight in the valley below. The victory is won from the mountain above. Under God's banner, his blessings are there for us to receive. Under God's banner, the victory is won from the mountain above. We have all of his strength and his resources that come from his protection and his provision. The altar is a reminder to us. We have his strength, his resources for the journey, his protection and his provision. We need to march under the direction of the sovereign Lord. We need to move forward in faith and be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. You are under the Lord's banner. Take action. You see, our source of strength is from the Lord. What is the response of the people? Well, it's an amazing response. The burdens of this world, the battles of the flesh will not go away on this side of heaven. We need to strive to enter the God's rest. That's Hebrews 4:11. So that no one may fall in the same sort of disobedience, talking back and referring to Joshua's time. The book is relevant to today. We have to strive to enter God's rest under his banner. The people's response is found in chapter 1, verse 16. All they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. That's a prayer. Whoever rebels against the commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. They keep repeating it. It was the same words that Moses said to to Joshua when he had ordained him in Deuteronomy 31. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. You think we need that reminder today? We see a lot of stuff going on in our news that is shocking. And everybody and everything in this world seems to be against us and against God. But I can tell you, this book is relevant to today. These people felt the same way. But it was applying the principles of God by meditating on the Word of God, by looking to Him for our source of strength, that the battle belongs to the Lord. The valley below, we may have wars and battles, but the victory is won from above. And we know who's going to win. Let us take strength in that. Let us be encouraged today. Let us be strong and courageous in the Lord. Do not be afraid. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time. We ask for your blessing on it. May you give us strength and courage. May we move forward in our faith, just relying on staying in the wandering and the wilderness. Help us to rely on you and meditate on your source of strength, that your promises are true, that you promise to go with us wherever we're at. You will never forsake us or leave us. And we have the assurances and the principles in your word that we are never to turn away from. Let us look to you, Lord, to be strong and courageous. Let us walk under the banner of the Lord. And so, Lord, when we are buffeted by the wind, may the people see Christ in us come out strong. May we take action. It's in Jesus' precious holy name that we pray. Amen. 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 God is good, and He's good all the time. And, you know, when they tell me, they say, they give me the senior rate, you know what? I'm young in the Lord, brother. You live for eternity, that's nothing. You're young in the Lord. Eternity is a long time. Do not be afraid, the Lord says. Anyways, I'm not going to yell at you anymore. But I'm glad to be with you. And I don't want you to be afraid. I don't care how bad it gets. They're doing crazy stuff right now. Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous in the Lord. Hear the words of the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.